Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. The church is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, you can have your seat. Thank you, choir. I want to thank you so much for the beautiful rendition. Praise the Lord. I want to give all the thanks and glory to the Almighty God who has made it possible for us all to be here this morning. It is not by man, nor by power, but by His Spirit. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God for this church. The opportunity they gave me today to share some good news to all of us. It was on February 2nd of this year, Pastor Peter called me. That was when I was studying. He asked me to choose the day that I will minister. From that February to August, I said, okay, no, let me just take it far. Praise the Lord. I took August. I never knew that August will finally come. Praise the Lord. Here I am today. It's not easy to be a pastor. Sometimes I don't envy them. Because every Sunday, they must have something to say. So when he said this, I said, okay, the Spirit of God immediately, just like a lightning, I received this message. I was studying for my exams then. He said, we are living a borrowed life. I couldn't make anything out of it. I just wrote it down and placed it on the mirror there. I left it. So sometimes when I'm driving, it just strike my mind. How can I preach living on a borrowed life? This is not the kind of message many people want to hear. Everybody wants to hear about God's blessing, prosperity, miracle. But this one, borrowed life, is maybe somehow it's going to be something that has to do with death. Nobody wants to hear that. So I tried to shove it away. But the Spirit of God told me, is it your word? You are just a messenger. Just go and deliver the message. It's up to 4 times I tried to change it. But the Spirit of God keep on pressing me to go ahead with it. I don't know somebody God has to bless today. It may be you, but I know that I'm going to be blessed. And I want you to make a personal declaration to yourself this time, because the Bible says that death and life is in the power of tongue. I want you to personalize it. I shall not die until I fulfill my days. Praise the Lord. I want you to say it. I want you to claim it. I want you to speak it. I shall not die. Do you want to die? If you don't want to die, speak it louder. You want to speak life to yourself. I shall not die until I fulfill my days. Praise the Lord. Yesterday, concurrently, the family of GMI Church receive a news that no one wants to receive at any time. We lost one of our most dear brother. And at the same time, while this was going on, we have not even compartmentalized it. My wife called me. She couldn't even say anything. She said, Sister Rosemary. I said, what about Sister Rosemary? She said, Sister Rosemary, she couldn't say anything. I cut off the phone. I already had a missed call from Brocken. I called him back. He didn't answer. I said, what's going on? Later, Brocken picked the phone and told me what happened, that he lost his mother-in-law. That's the mother of our sister Rosemary. Praise the Lord. All these things happened yesterday. So while I was thinking about it, say, is that the reason why God said I should go ahead with this message? Is that to make sense to me? I'm not going to waste your time because we have a lot to do. Perhaps we may be having communion service at the end of the service today. So while this was going on in my mind, I said, okay, that's the reason why God has this message for us. You see, sometimes we live this life forgetting that we are pilgrims. You can buy time, but you cannot stop time. The life we are living in is full of surprises. Whether we like it or not, the fact is a fact. Just one day, there is one man in my place, he's a radio broadcaster. His name is Nnamdi Olebra of the Blessed Memory. He said, people that goes to view cops will one day become a cop. And that was what happened. One day he died. But our own case is different. Because we know that, according to Paul, he said, to die is gain. To live is a Christ. That's why I say that we must declare that we will not die until we fulfill our days. But the thing about it is, we don't know how many days we have. That God just hid it from us. Even the next person who's going to die the next minute don't know that he's going to die. And the natural instinct of every human being is afraid of death. Whether you like it or you don't like it. Even Christ, at the point, said, if it were possible, to tell you that death is something, because you are going to an unknown territory, but thank God that he has given us our assurance that when we pass from this planet Earth, we are going to a better place. That is our hope. And we thank God that our brother and sister who has graduated to glory has gone to be with the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we are not going to sorrow like people who has no hope, as the book of 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 and 15 says. Because we know that we are going to meet when we are going to part no more. This is a period of rejoicing and a period of sober reflection for the living. Because most times we are occupied with things of this world. We are occupied with our education. We are occupied with our children. We are occupied with material things. And it just gradually takes us away from the most important thing of our life, which is eternity. No matter whatever you do in this life, whether you're a member of the church, whether you're a pastor, whether you're the most highly exalted evangelist, what matters most is, where are you going to spend your eternity? God is telling us this morning, maybe you have not made a decision. Maybe you don't know where you are going to end your eternity, but let me put it clear to you. Everybody living, okay, let me rephrase it. Every child of God knows where he's going. If you are going to hell, before you go there, you already know you are going to hell. Yes. God has given us the rubrics and the answer sheet. Because whenever you are doing something, The Spirit of God will just tell you. And if you're not in the right tune with God, you know that you better make a change. That's why God is giving us this second chance. This is a second chance for us. We pray that things bad doesn't happen, but things will happen. You can live a million years, as I'm going to go to the scripture very soon. Some people who has lived. The thing is about, you may live 1 million years. But one day, just one, it wouldn't pass one day, 1 second, you will breathe your last breath. Those things you have labored for in your life, you will cherish so much, will not make any sense to you. Those dollars you pack in the bank, those houses, those your beautiful children, you don't, I don't play with my children. Anything you exalt in yourself above the knowledge of God in your life may take you to the place you don't want to be. It's a warning time. We are in this generation, the jet age, computer age. Everything is just going like a speedboat. Knowledge. At a point, I was asking myself, what is the year of accountability? And it was a very difficult question for me to answer. Because even my little son, Roya, sometimes when you hit him, he tried to hit you back. I said, what has taught this guy that if he hits me back, I'm going to have some pain? Which means he has some knowledge. He reasons. Okay, if he does something now that is bad, when you caution him, he's frown his face. He has known good and bad. So, what is the year of accountability? At what point do you think that God's going to start counting for you, for your deeds? It's a question we may not be able to answer here. But the truth of the matter is, be ye prepared. Even if you did not hear any other thing this morning, definitely maps will continue to be redrawn. Whether you like it or you don't like it. There are two people, as far as the Bible will tell us, they never witnessed death. Elijah and Enoch. Even Christ himself witnessed death. Beside these two people, at least for now, we have never heard of any other. So, and if you look at the life of these people that we are transformed from mortality to immortality, the Bible says that they lived a perfect life. Mind you that these people, they are in the Old Testament. This thing happened before even Christ came. To tell you that we don't have any excuse. We don't follow with the crowd. Don't just flow with the flow. Have a personal conviction. Christianity today, as we can see it, is an art. People are more religious. Okay. There are some religious issues. Oh, you want them, they want to defend it at all costs. Hey, oh, these gay people are not gay, are this and that and that and that. They want to fight it, they want to defend it. But you ask yourself, we don't encourage those things. It's not part of us. It's not Christian-like. But when you fight for those things, do you live the life, the individual life that Christ wants you to live? Those besetting things that will throw you back, do you have a close look at it? Praise the Lord. This is another opportunity. I had the opportunity of interacting with our brother, Ezibo, for one thing he asked me to do for him, and I gave him alternative advice. He was very appreciative. I never knew that that was the last time I'm going to have an encounter with him. So, last Sunday, Pastor said something. Maybe some people may have misunderstood him. Some people may get him right. There are decisions we do take, or sometimes you want the best for your child, and sometimes you don't reason with them. The earlier you start having relationship with your child, with your wife, with your friends, with your family, mending ways, the better for you. Because time may come when you may not have opportunity to do that. Procrastination is a thief of time. I will. Or you have something with somebody that are begging you. Why not allow this? Oh, do you know a homie? Do you know who I am? I'll deal with him. When you sleep, before you wake up, do you know where you are? It's only, if you have billions, you don't know. If you have children, you don't know. If you want to think about how death is, that's a very typical example of death. When you enter into a certain realm, you just be going. You don't know. Until you come back, you look at yourself, you realize that you are in the land of the living. And then you start to worry about the things of this earth. But when you are lying there, you don't know anything. Praise the Lord. The word of God is true. God has given us choices. That's one thing with God. He doesn't force us to do what he don't want us to do. But he encourages us to do what? To do the right thing. Not everybody will witness death. As many as alive when the rapture will take place, that are rapturable, will not witness death. Praise the Lord. But the question is, will you be rapturable? Nobody will answer that question for you. It's a personal something you need to answer for yourself. Every step you take, every minute, everything concerns you. We are living in a society now, we have many prophets. Prophets. Recently, somebody sent me a video of one of the Nigerian prophets. I am not here to criticize or mention names. He came to America here recently. He was telling people, get your phone. And they brought out their phone. It's okay, you are going to get an alert. Yeah, this is one of a renowned minister in Nigeria. He came with his private jet to tell you the magnitude of this person. And you see the vulnerable, they were just, you see, I am not doubting the power of God, but brethren, you need to be very careful. Miracle. Whether you are receiving miracle, whether you are performing miracle, it doesn't define your place in God. People, God does miracles even to unbelievers. This church is very scanty now. But I tell you, the moment you hear any miracle, or we start to claim any miracle from this pulpit, the city of Phoenix will be sending police to be guiding traffic here. Honestly, because this is what this generation are all after. They're after signs and wonders. And the Bible knows that. One other thing I want to let you know is this. No matter how powerful a man of God is, You are going to make the decision of your life for yourself. The problem we have these days is that we want to transfer our problem. This man is so close to God. Let him go and ask for us. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. I want us to turn to the book of Second Kings chapter 20. I read from verse 1 to 12. Can you put it up, please? Praise the Lord. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus said the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Praise the Lord. You see, the real prophets, they are not afraid. They are not afraid to say the truth. He went to the king. But if you are today, the so-called prophet, they want to identify with the president. They want to identify with the governor. They want to be, whatever the governor or the president is in that is not in line with the word of God, that or is trying to, or is something that is not good, they want to be an accessory to that. Give him a religious coverage. And then they do it. And then when you go, oh, I was with the president, I'm among the prayer team. But you are there, you cannot tell the truth. As I went straight, say, you shall die. But there is one thing very remarkable in this scripture as we go down. Can you scroll it more, please? He said, I beseech thee, O Lord. Remember now, I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. Can you scroll it more? Thought again. Praise the Lord. Let me paraphrase. You see this man of God, this man Hezekiah. He's one of the 12th king that reign in Israel from the line of the kingship of David. His father has no fear of God. This young man took the mantle of leadership at the age of 25. And as at that time, Judea, they were just cutting the kingdom. The Assyrians were all to besiege Israel. When this man received this news, he asked for extension. Praise the Lord. You can ask for extension of your life, but you cannot stop the life when the time comes. As I said, when I took August, I thought that August will never come. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, it's about 5 months or plus now, but finally, yeah, that's how it is. When you make when you make some promise, oh, okay, let it be next year. I think next year is too far. Next year is just by the doorstep. He asked God, and God added more 15 years to this man. And as you are going there, he said he later joined his ancestors. So that's where I want to point more. No matter how indispensable you are, there are many generals in the Lord's army, even most of them of the blessed Archbishop Benson Idahosa. If you are from Nigeria, we know how powerful that man of God is. He doesn't take no for an answer. Even when his mom died, he was abroad. He said, no, you shouldn't bury him. He's not taking no for an answer. He came and prayed. And the mom came back to life. This is a living testimony. It's not, he has all this abracadabra they are doing right now. No. He will challenge rain and the rain will stop. And then he is the epitome of the modern priesthood. He said, Bishop, he was the first archbishop in the Pentecostal kingdom. Archbishop Benson Idahosa. But of all those exploits, a day came when he has fulfilled his days. No matter whatever else he could have done, and the Lord says, my son, it's time to come home. He traveled home. Rehan Bonke, we know him. World-renowned evangelist. As a matter of fact, I never knew when I was in Houston, he came. I think my wife attended one of the crusades, but I didn't have the opportunity to go. He came to Nigeria. He comes to Nigeria as quite often as we know him very well. But one day, he died. Look at this man, the most recent, one of the renowned prophet T.B. Joshua. When you mention Prophet T.B. Joshua, you see, we people, we are good at judging people. If God did not judge you, it doesn't matter. Some people may give you credit. This is the right one. Some Christians, they try to select. At the point, I ask myself, I am not coming here in defense of T.B. Joshua, whether he's of God or not. It is not my making. I know that the man impacted life. But whatever he does, if he has any other thing, he's done. This time around, he has gone to meet his creator. He may have met people to repent, but his own personal life, we cannot decide. A lot of people can shout from here, he has gone to heaven, fine. A lot of people say, oh, he's not this, he's not this, he's not that, he's not a true prophet of God, he's not a true prophet of God. You as a person cannot know where another person, naturally the normal thing we say whenever a Christian brother dies, oh, he has gone to be with the Lord. That's the natural, very, very diplomatic way of saying things to please into everybody, at least to suit the moment. But the person who died knows where he's going. My very self talking here, I know myself very well, more than every other person. That's why the word said that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Nobody can understand it except God. We have good actors. Even some believers, they can act or preach. When they preach more than the most, they quote the word of God as if they study it. It's an art. But there is no power. That's what makes the difference. The Spirit of God in you makes the difference between you and the actors. When you see a graduate or you see a choir for the Anglican with a wear robe, when they come out, they all wear robes. You may not know the difference. They all look alike. But the taste of the pudding is in the eating. It's not just wearing the robe. But when it has to do, one of my friends said, Oyibo people, he's a Nigerian guy, he likes America so much. He said, why I like America is, no matter certificate you come, what they ask you, can you do? It's not that you have paper, you have certificate and so, but this thing you are claiming, can you do it? You are a child of God. Can you defend Christ? We know of a story of a young girl in Nigeria she was faced with the threat of life to deny Christ. Leah. Everybody's rejoicing. Leah is a symbol of Christianity. But you, can you be that symbol? Your own challenge may not be they face you with a knife or whatever. Your own challenge may be small thing, because you are not faithful of a small thing. When big things are given to you, you're not going to be faithful. And God's own way of doing things, God's sin, all righteousness are sin before God. It doesn't matter whether it's big, it doesn't matter whether it's small. That's why God has given us the grace. But we're not continuing grace that, that sin may abound. No. The Spirit of God is in you. And let me warn you, you claim to be a Christian, yes. You are spirit-filled, yes. It is not over until it is over. Christ can come in two various ways in our lives. When you die, Christ has come, whether you like it, because there is no other opportunity left for you. There is no repentance in the grave. The opportunity you have to make amends with God is now, as I'm talking to you now. There is a story I quote by one Reverend Tony Onyejekwe from Nigeria. He's a musician. You may know him. Some of the old Christians may know him. He said this story that there is one young lady. He was preaching to this young lady about accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and personal Savior. The lady said, "I need to enjoy my life. I'm a young girl. That after that, I will come back and maybe listen to what you are saying. But for now, I need to enjoy my life." To his disappointment, it's not a thing, because God does not take glory in the death of a sinner. Before he could reach home, the lady was involved in an accident. She died without Christ. She never knew that that opportunity she missed it. God is talking to all of us now. We have so many things going on in our lives. Covetousness. We want to have it all. We want to have it all. And human wants are insatiable. The more you acquire, the more you have the propensity to acquire more. That's why you see all these politicians, criminals, they have acquired more than they can chew, but they still keep on acquiring. Some of them, they dug the ground and put the money there. Some lives will be, people are not eating. The money we just, there are some of them, they're like our currency, that the materials are not so strong. A few years, it will just natural, it will deteriorate. When you bring it out, you think you're bringing money, the thing will just flow. Millions will just waste away. They take delight in acquiring the money. What is it that is so special to you that will rob you of your eternity? Is it your children? I'm sorry to say it. All these things ends here. It's good to be very ambitious. It's good to be very ambitious, because if you say you're not going to work, hunger may kill you before that death comes, and you feel so miserable. So you need to do your own part. But that does not take you away. Are you so much engrossed with your children? Everything is all about, I want my children to go to the best this, I want him to be this and this and that. You may plan. Yep. It may not work out that way. If your time is up, you can't say, "Oh God, please excuse me." Husband and wife that love the same so much, inseparable, indispensable. One day, the map will be redrawn. But we don't want to say these things. It's not about not having faith. It's all about the reality. It's all about things that continue happening and will continue happening until Christ comes. So I beseech you, my brethren, this is another opportunity for us These our brethren, like there were mommy that has to be went to be with the Lord. She was asking. In fact, she wished she has more time to live, so that she can see the grandchildren grow. But the life, as I said, we are living a borrowed life. It's not yours. When you borrow something, you know that you're going to return it. Sometimes you tell, I'm going to return it so day. And the owner of the something, in the morning, he knock at their door. My brother, I'm sorry, this thing I gave you yesterday, there's nothing I can do about it. I need it now. It's not yours. You can't say no. Because the owner has come for his thing. He just gave it for you to hold for a brief. So when he asks for it, you're obligated to surrender. This life is not ours. What makes me to stand here now, and everybody was able to sit around here, because that breath of life is still in here. The moment the breath of life has gone, everybody will naturally stay at a distance. You'll be left alone in a very small box. Sometimes they put the person in a fridge, very icy one. Or before you know it, they have emptied the stomach and pour some of those alcohol you don't want to take. They force it to you by force to make sure that you sustain it whenever they're going to put you where they want to put you. It doesn't matter how this flesh is handled. Some people are more concerned at how they are going to be buried, whether they are going to be cremated, whether they are going to be carried to Nigeria, whether they are going to be buried here. This flesh makes nothing. As a matter of fact, some people, this flesh, some are using it as food. I saw one video, a young girl, you know what she does? This is our flesh we are cherishing so much. She will slice it and then use the... Yes, it's on the video, in social media. She will slice it, make a meatballs with flour and garnish it. People were just eating until she was caught within one of the labs. So this is what they are cherishing. So to tell you that this flesh doesn't make any sense. And if the mando, that thing that makes you a human being, when it's gone, even that person that cherishes so much cannot stand the stench that will come out of that person. It's a fact we don't want to believe. It's a fact that we're always on denial. But at a point in our life, the reality we're coming. That's why I said earlier on, I don't know, I don't know my days. God knows my days. But I have a role to play, that every minute, every day, every step you take, live your life as if this is going to be your last. If you want to show love to your family, to your wife, to your children, do it as if without it, nothing else. Make a good memory. Don't create bad memories. You fight. When that person you fight with is gone, you start to regret. You look for whom to fight, you won't find him. Praise the Lord. Very soon I've been rounding up. I want us to look at the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 21. Luke chapter 12, from verse 15 to 21. He says, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisted not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he has thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? Praise the Lord. This is a parable Christ himself was telling the disciples. And I know Christ is talking to us this morning, centering on what I have just said. Covetousness. Covetousness may be just in the simple terms, you may think covetousness is when you just try to covet somebody something. That is part of it in the literal English meaning. You're trying to covet something somebody has. It's far from that. This unsatiable desire for wealth, for material things. You want to take it at all cost. As a matter of fact, if we put 10% of the time we put in the pursuit of material things in the things of God, things will be moving in our lives. We devote most of our time more. I'm talking to all of us. But God is telling us to let us make some redirection. For instance, if you have an exam, your degree exam, or you have a business appointment, and the executive, they say, oh, you are gonna, that deal is going to be closed by 9 o'clock. In fact, 4 o'clock, you're already prepared. I remember when we were going for American Lottery, I pray that God will put this zeal that we use for material things for the things of God. The day we were to go for our interview at the American Embassy, I can tentatively say I did not sleep. My wife was relaxed. I woke her up around 12. He said, "What? Is it heaven?" I was arranging this, arranging that, arranging every document and this and that. Sleep could not get into my eyes just to come to America. I don't know about you. I'm just telling you a live experience. Before 4 o'clock, I woke up. I woke them up, say, no, you need to wake up. We need to start getting ready. Off we left for the embassy. So now I'm asking myself, that zeal I use in making sure that I don't miss that. This is man appointment. How do we treat God's appointment? God gives us every day. Assignment God gives to us. It's in this scripture every day. He reminds us the Holy Spirit. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Even a reminder. He reminds us, it's time for do this. Oh, you feel so weak. Every time the flesh tries to exalt itself. In one way or the other, my yoga. One day will come when that yoga will not make any meaning. I'm not preaching that to be slothful in what you are doing. But what I'm saying is, Some of these things, as you can see, the Bible says here, according to the parable, this man, he was blessed so much, he wanted to expand. In your business, God may be expanding you, that's good. God may be prospering you, that's good, but don't let that prosperity take you away from God. Because a lot of people today, the genesis of their problem is the breakthrough they have in whatever they are doing. In their education, they got education, much education. At a point, they start to question the validity, the existence of God. Because they are learning. They want to challenge God. They want to put logic to God. The business, you don't have time for God again. You are praying for God to help you. As a matter of fact, I will close with this. So it's a lesson to every one of us. There is one adage in our place. I don't know what that is, but when they say it, I know what it means. He said, "We're black," or I don't know what "we're black" is. We say that when things happen to others, that he won't allow it to happen to him before he takes his correction. He will take the one that happened to others and learn his lesson. That is this man of God in South Africa. He was asking God in his church, when the church was very little, he was asking God for, they were so poor that he couldn't buy for the house, for the wife, the basic personal hygiene stuff. And he pains him so much as a man, as a pastor, that he could not provide for the wife. He was asking God for a breakthrough. And eventually, the breakthrough came. He got into this business of oil. The business was growing. He started to miss from the family. He provides everything the wife needs. But as at that time, he never knew that the wife's need has changed. The wife wanted him to be around with his children. But the man thought that he is doing a great job. After all, money, before he come back, he go out on a business trip. Even his church, he only come on one Sunday, maybe in a month, he come and preach, and then he goes off for business. They are signing all this contract upon contract upon contract. Until one day he came back, the wife said, "I'm done." He thought it's a joke. He said, "Why with the pastor?" He said, "I'm done." He said, "Why?" "Because you are not here for me." He said, "But I send you all things. I buy everything for you." He said, "But that cannot fulfill that relationship." So sometimes we be careful when we have breakthrough. Breakthrough can make you or break you. But my prayer this morning that the breakthrough we are going to have in our life will make us stronger. Praise the Lord. With this, I will draw the curtain for this message. Praise the Lord. I want you to stand up as we be in the mood of prayer. You ask God. You know yourself. Nobody can know you more than yourself. Ask God to deal with you personally. Ask God to help you to fulfill your days in the right purpose. It doesn't matter you live 1,000 years and you die and go to hell. It's better that you live few years and you have the rest of your life to enjoy with Christ than the spending all these years and then you are found wanting. Open your mouth, brethren. You can ask for yourself. It doesn't matter whether you're a child. Everybody will answer for himself. The mother will answer for himself. The father will answer for himself. The children will answer for themselves. Nobody will answer for each other. This is a lone decision. Ask God to renew your spirit. Ask me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Why not honor thou art calling? Do not pass me by. This moment to pass you by as you sing this song. Meditate in your heart. The Savior is passing by. In Jesus' name, in the mighty name of Jesus, our eternal King of glory, we thank you for such a wonderful opportunity. You are the God of second chance. The privilege you are giving us to be in the land of the living, even at this moment, to hear this word. You say your word does not return unto you void without fulfilling the purpose for which it was sent forth. And there is joy in heaven over a sinner that turns from his evil ways unto you. Father, we your people have come before your presence at this time, rededicating our lives unto you, God. Help us, Lord God, quicken our spirit to think of the things that matter, to lay up treasures in heaven where nothing can destroy it. Father, anywhere we have come short of your glory, Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon us. We are bringing the families of our beloved ones who are in deep sorrow at this time, Lord, that you comfort them. Comfort them, Lord, at this critical moment in their life. Let them to realize that they are not going to sorrow as people who has no hope. And let the passing to glory of these our brethren be a point of sober reflection to every one of us here in Jesus' name. that we're going to live our life to the glory of God, knowing that whatever we are in this life begins with God and ends with God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for this GMI church. Thank you because, King of Glory, you have been with this church and you continue to be with this church. We cannot be moved by this incident, because you said all things work together for good to them that love you, who are called according to your own purpose. Father, what has happened in our family will be for a testimony, Lord. And we're asking thee, oh God, even in this midst of COVID, they were saying so many variants. The scientists, sometimes they're confused. They say wear mask, they say don't wear mask. But let your people, teach your people to use common sense. Teach your people, O King of Glory, to use wisdom in every situation. In the name of Jesus. And most importantly, O God, we ask for your divine protection. The absolute proof. Most people, most of us who are in the medical field, is not a fiction, it's a reality. They see people come and off their gun. But you have been faithful to us. Continue to be faithful to us, protecting us in the name of Jesus. As you have been protecting us. Even this one, they are saying it is more contagious and virulent. But those things, we are, with our ears, we will hear it. Because we have a covenant with you, Lord. It will not be our portion. It will not be our portion to our children. It will not be a portion to our fathers, to our grandfathers, to our family members, to our friends, in the name of Jesus. I see each and every one of member of this family, oh God, with the blood of Jesus. Take full control and preeminence, oh God. Blessed be your most holy and exalted name. In Jesus' name we have prayed.